Well, hello everyone and welcome. Something a little bit fun today to end the week. So recently, all week, we've been following the story between Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes against Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. And, of course, the question that hovers above it all is, you know, what's Donald Trump's view of all of this? What's J.D. Vance's view of all of this? And I've talked more than once about how there's a distinct pro-wrestling flavour to a lot of the stuff that goes on. So today I thought I'd have a little bit of fun and try to fantasy book a scenario where these factions get behind, one of them gets behind Vance, one of them gets behind Trump, and then the mega powers collide for a primary in 2028. Okay? This is going to be a fantasy booking session where I think through, using wrestling logic, how this showdown could come about, okay, given the various factors in play at the moment. Before I get going, I'll just remind everyone, pick up my new book, Applied Elite Theory. Also get a course at the Academic Agency, buy it now, Trivia, Foundations of Shakespeare, many other great courses. But let us get to this. It's quite exciting. So I referenced the mega powers there, and that is a classic pro wrestling angle where you have a tag team that's been established between Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. Something happens, you know, in this case it was a look that Hulk Hogan gave to Savage's wife, Miss Elizabeth. Then you've got a building up of tension. They were still tagging together, they were still allied, but you could tell tensions were simmering in the team. Eventually you get a turn, okay, and finally the payoff, the blow-off, was the big match at WrestleMania, Hogan versus Savage. Ultimately, Hogan won that feud. There are other elements here because there are factions at play. There's the Zionist faction, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, that whole crew, Barry Weiss, etc., all the Zionists. And then there is the anti-Zionist crew, which is Tucker Carlson, Candice Owens, Nick Fuentes, etc., etc. So there are elements here, also a little bit of Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock, something like that, where there were kind of lots of allies on either side. So those are basically the templates. We've got the setup, we've got the tension, we've got the turn, we've got the payoff, okay? And just to set the scene, what is the setup? Well, at the moment, and I've written all of this out, so I've got various different booking plans, and I'm going to go through this on this video. So at the moment, we've got this setup, which is the falling out, the, you know, momentous online falling out between Tucker Carlson, or the faction led by Tucker Carlson, which and his stable mates are now Nick Fuentes, newly into the stable, Candice Owens, you know, and lots of other smaller characters on the anti-Zio side. And then on the Zionists, and Steve Bannon, I would say, is also kind of, he was named as an enemy by Mark Levin, so he's over there as well. And then on the Zionist side, you've got faction leaders like Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, and so on and so forth. And ultimately what we need to do is to get Trump aligned with one of the factions and Vance aligned with the other one in order to set the mega powers colliding. So how could this start happening? Well, I think it's already started to happen a little bit, which is that Vance, in his speeches, in his messaging, in his public appearances, in his Q&A, starts contradicting Trump on Israel. He starts, he refuses to throw Tucker or the Groypers under the bus. He refuses to kowtow. So slowly but surely, you get Vance teasing this, babyface turn. In this scenario, the anti-Zionists, by the way, have the support of the populist base and are the babyfaces, and the Zionists are the heels. Okay, and I think if you have a look back at the promos cut by Mark Levin and Shapiro and so on, it's pretty easy to see that the Zionists are the heels in this scenario, the villains, that is, whereas the anti-Zionist Tucker is a babyface. Okay, so there's a version of all of this where it's actually Tucker Carlson himself who runs rather than Vance or Trump. But I thought it'd be fun to do it where you get this classic kind of tag team betrayal angle, where the tag team partners turn on each other, okay? So, yeah, you get Vance, who starts contradicting Trump on Israel. Then you get a pivotal moment would be that Nick Fuentes, who's been extremely critical of Vance, he's been extremely critical of Peter Thiel and the whole, like, Thiel network, and he's been, you know, he's put a lot of shade on Vance before. But the Groypers, I mean, somebody put it pretty well recently, the structural logic of the relationship between Nick Fuentes and the Groypers is a little bit like the relationship between Taylor Swift and the Swifties, right? By which I mean, whatever he says, they're going to follow him, okay? Right, so I'm not intending that, as I'm not saying like he's Taylor Swift or something like that, but in a way, the relationship is the same. Taylor Swift can do no wrong. The Swifties will follow her wherever she goes. And the relationship between Nick and the Groypers is exactly the same. So if Nick decides, right, actually, I'm going to get behind Vance now, the Groypers will follow. Okay, and this is, when you're dealing with power, quite an important thing. Bertrand de Juvenel, a man moves a man, okay? In other words, Fuentes would help give the rub, in pro wrestling terms, to Vance, give the shine on him, okay? And that would cause, you know, a significant online faction then to be behind Vance, because Vance has started to be Israel critical. He's refusing to throw Tucker Carlson under the bus. He's hanging in with the kids. He's still doing all the stuff that he's been hinting towards. And then, of course, in this scenario, you then get the devastating final heel turn of Donald Trump, okay, which is essentially his, like, 1996 Hulk Hogan moment where he joins the NWO formally, okay? So far, Trump has tried to do this ambivalence act where, in practice, he ends up doing whatever Israel wants, but he has these theatrical kind of tantrums and things where he, you know, you don't know what the F you're doing and all that, where, you know, he lets it be known that he's put leverage on Netanyahu, that he's, you know, chewing him out behind the scenes and all of that. Whether anybody believes that, I don't know. But typically, Trump has done enough to not lose the anti-Zio faction so far. Whereas in this scenario, he would clearly come out formally on Team Shapiro, on Team Levin, right? Randy Fine and all these people. He's already endorsed Randy Fine, by the way, interestingly. So then, heading into the turn, okay, we have this whole scenario where Vance, now backed by Tucker's fans, by Groypers, by online rights and so on, goes in against Trump, who's backed by essentially boomers and Zionists, okay, going into this primary. Now, there's one little hurdle here. There's one little problem with this whole thing, and that is that according to the rules of America, you can't have a third term. Trump can't run again, so how is he going to be primaried? And this is something, this little plot point is going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue, okay? But let's say the Zionists get really desperate and they think, well, Trump is our last shot. We have to keep out Vance. They will use their exception, move heaven and earth, use their legal kind of control over lawyers and judges and so on to basically bend the rules in order to allow Trump to run for a third time. Now, for some section of the base, that will be presented as great news, oh, fantastic, Trump is actually going to be the king and so on. But in another very real sense, it could be used as a heel move, right? I.e. in the narrative storytelling, it could actually be a plot point for Vance to say, hold on a second, this is America, man, you can't do this. We're not going to be ruled by a Zionist dictator, a Zionist-backed dictator. We came into MAGA to, you know, change the system, not become the system, all of this sort of stuff. So there you get the setup for the primary. Vance objects to the third term. Vance objects to, you know, he's actually aligned himself with the anti-Zionists. And then the primary, this 2028 primary, becomes the whole issue leading into the 2028 election for the Republicans, i.e. the whole debate becomes around Israel, Israel's influence, and so on and so forth. And in the in those debates, in the Trump versus Vance, you know, Zios versus anti-Zios, you're looking basically to recreate 2016 energy. Okay, that's basically what's happening. You're looking to recreate excitement because the kayfabe now has real stakes. It really feels important because it ultimately, the subtext is who gets to control American politics. Is it the Patriots and the Groypers and Vance, or is it Trump and the old guard and the Zionists and the boomers and Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro? Okay, that's one. I mean, this is fantasy booking. Okay, now there are lots of hurdles to. There are lots of plot points. Like one, Nick Fuentes personally dislikes J.D. Vance. Okay, that would need to be a plot point that you'd need to overcome. I.e., Nick would have to do several shows leading up to his own turn, where he's like, actually, Vance has done enough to convince me that like he's our guy. Okay, so that's one thing that would need to happen. And the other significant plot hurdle is the fact that Trump actually can't run in 2028. So how that, you know, but in pro wrestling logic, you start, okay, with the blow off and you work backwards. Okay, you always start with the blow off and you work backwards. We're trying to get here to this scenario. So these other plot points, we can deal with them. It just requires Nick turning. It just requires. And even though it sounds outlandish now, you never know. For example, back in the summer, it seemed outlandish that Fuentes would talk to Tucker. They were feuding. They were at each other's throats. They were calling each other feds. We've already seen the opposite of this, where you get tension and then you see a tag team forming, an alliance forming. And, you know, that's basically happened already. We've been through that angle. So it's not impossible for a character like Fuentes to flip on an issue or on a person. And when he flips, he takes his fans with him, okay? So that this booking here requires that to happen. And you see, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because there are a lot of skeptics, like, there are a lot of people excited by what's going on, but there are skeptics too. There are actually people who think all of this is a work, right? They think that this is a way to, like, scheme Vance into power, okay? This is like a Peter Thiel play, where he's going to try to use the online right to maneuver Trump out of the way and to get his own man in, something like this. And what I'm doing is actually entertaining the possibility of like something like this happening, okay, for good or for ill, in a value-free sense. So that's one whole scenario is how things can play out. There are alternative scenarios. In fact, there are several other alternative scenarios, okay? One alternative scenario is that Trump sees what's happening. He's a guy who's always been driven by ratings. He understands, look, Tucker's got huge ratings. Fuentes has huge ratings. Shapiro's ratings are going down. Nobody cares about Barry Weiss or Mark Levin and so on. They're hurting his credibility. They're hurting his popularity. They're tanking the MAGA brand. So he has to do something about this. He wants that energy that's behind Tucker and Groypers and Nick and so on, and Candy Sowin, he wants that for him, right? So you get a scenario where Trump is the one who decides to turn on Israel, and he works the angle as the baby face, okay? Now, that scenario also faces the problem that the previous one did, which is that Trump can't run again, okay? But let's just pretend that we now run with the fantasy scenario where actually it's Vance who's, you know, secretly loyal to Israel, and Trump is the one who's turned. Then you have to have a scenario where Vance works the angle as the company man, as the stooge. Maybe Trump cuts promos on him, outing Vance as a stooge of Peter Thiel. You know, and then, you know, all the stuff that Nick said before basically is hurled at Vance, and you go into 2028 with that as the narrative, with Vance still making all the arguments about, you know, it's unconstitutional to have a third term and he's not going to stand for this and so on, except his backers are Levin and Shapiro and so on, and is coming from them, okay? And whereas Trump, he is being backed by Bannon and Groypers and online rights and so on and so forth, and Tucker. That's an alternative scenario. Or you get another alternative scenario is that you don't get the scenario where they turn on each other. You simply get Trump saying, look, I'm old. I've been at a good 10-year run here. It's time to pass over the torch, to hand over the baton. So he hands over to Vance, having turned on Israel, okay? There's no primary, and Vance is endorsed as the heir to Trump as an explicitly anti-Zionist candidate, okay? And then, of course, the other alternative scenario is that nobody turns on Israel, and, you know, the same thing's happened, and you get Vance as a nominally pro-Israel candidate in 2028, which would be the most boring scenario. Sometimes it's fun to think in this way. Thinking in pro wrestling booking, you always have to think forwards and then book backwards. And given that I talk so much in pro wrestling terms, just thought it'd be funny to kind of entertain. Well, my hair is particularly bad today. That's why I'm wearing the hat. Pick up Applied Elite Theory, like I said, and of course at the Academic Agency. And most importantly of all, get out. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.